What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
It was a clear, golden New England evening on October 4th, 1960. The sun was ready to set over the yachts anchored in Winthrop Harbor in Boston. The residents of Winthrop were just sitting down to their suppers when an explosion that sounded like a sonic boom interrupted the calm. The deafening noise was the sound of a plane slamming into the sea, seconds after takeoff from Boston's Logan Airport. All but 10 of the 72 aboard Eastern Airlines Flight 375 were killed. You would never imagine that William Shakespeare had anything to do with this tragedy. But, believe it or not, the disaster can be traced back to one of the Bard's most obscure plays, one written over 360 years earlier. The one that makes reference to a particular bird.
Everyone goes against the wind sometimes when the ship is forecast strong. Said we were landlocked and stuck to this soil. Guess they've never heard of a swinging throne.
I'm Sean Braswell, and welcome to The Thread, a podcast from Aussie Media where we examine the interlocking lives and events of history. This past season, we pulled the thread on the murder of John Lennon. Season 2 will debut early next year, but we'd like to share some bonus episodes in the meantime. We call them mini-threads. Here's the first, about a 1960 aviation disaster actually sparked by William Shakespeare. It's hard to go a day in an English-speaking country without encountering a word or phrase that originated with England's famous 16th-century bard. Wild goose chase? That's Shakespeare. Love is blind? Shakespeare. It's Greek to me? Break the ice? Kill with kindness? All Shakespeare. But it's not just his creative wordplay that captures our imagination. Sometimes it's what he references. Birds, for example.
It is not yet near day. It was the nightingale and not the lark that pierced the fearful hollow of thine ear. Nightly she sings on yon pomegranate tree. Believe me, love, it was the nightingale.
It was the lark, the herald of the morn. No nightingale.
But there is one reference to a starling in all of Shakespeare's plays. It's in a play you probably didn't read in school, the obscure Henry IV, Part 1. The reference is found in the first act, scene 3. A fiery nobleman named Hotspur is upset with King Henry because he refused to ransom his brother-in-law Mortimer, who was captured in a battle with the Scots. Hotspur promises he will not let the matter rest, even if it means training a particular bird to badger the king.
May I have a starling, shall be taught to speak nothing but Mortimer, and give it him to keep.
And with the writing of those words, the seeds of a disaster nearly 4 centuries later were planted. Shakespeare chose the starling as Hotspur's fanciful avian accomplice because it can mimic almost anything, especially other birds. But there are a few more things you need to know about starlings for this story thread. First, they are small, thick-set, dark birds with white speckles. They weigh about 2.5 ounces, but they are packed with muscle. Starlings are twice as heavy as they should be for their size. Second, starlings travel in gangs, very large gangs, called murmurations. Sometimes the number of starlings in a murmuration can number in the thousands. If you have ever witnessed a large murmuration of starlings as it soars and swoops across the sky like one big creature, it's an experience you will not soon forget. One final fact you need to know. Starlings are native to Europe, yet more than 200 million starlings are estimated to live in North America today. There were none here during Shakespeare's time. So what happened? Well, for that we have a single man to thank, an eccentric Bronx resident who loved birds, and the bard. Who was this bird lover? His name was Eugene Schieffelin, and he had a master plan. The wealthy New York drug maker wanted to introduce all of the birds mentioned in Shakespeare's plays to North America. Many of his attempts were unsuccessful, but not with the starling. He released 60 of the birds in Central Park in 1890, and there was every reason to believe the avian immigrants would not survive the harsh New York winter. But some of the small flock of European pilgrims managed to find shelter in the eaves of the American Museum of Natural History on the park's west side. And the starlings did what Schieffelin hoped they would do. They went forth and multiplied, big time. And not just in New York City. Starlings reached the Mississippi River by 1930. By 1950, they were pretty much everywhere and drove out Native American species like bluebirds and woodpeckers, which is how Shakespeare's single fictional starling came to beget over 200 million flesh-and-blood descendants in North America. One of the North American starling's favorite nest sites in the mid-20th century was Tobin Bridge in Boston. The city's Big Dig construction project would eventually change that, but over 150,000 starlings used to flock to Tobin Bridge every evening at sunset as commuters drove home. It seemed harmless enough, even beautiful. Up next, Eugene Schieffelin's starlings spark an unforgettable tragedy.
They hit the front of the airplane, resembling machine gun fire. Just brrrr. There wasn't a square inch of my windshield that wasn't splattered. I couldn't see a thing.
That's a reading of an account from Captain W.H. Jenkins. His plane was still on the runway at Boston's Logan Airport in 1960 when the starlings hit his windshield. He was able to bring the aircraft to a stop. But 2 weeks earlier, on October 4th, Eastern Airlines Flight 375 was not so lucky. A cloud of starlings headed home to Tobin Bridge, maybe 20,000 of them, collided with the plane 7 seconds after takeoff. Three of the plane's 4 propeller engines were overrun with birds. It happened so quickly the pilots did not utter a word to the Logan Airport tower. The plane rolled and crashed almost vertically into the harbor's shallow water, not far from where dozens of yachts were anchored offshore. It remains the worst bird strike in U.S. aviation history. Starlings may be small, but they are considered by aviation experts to be a lethal threat in large numbers. A single starling, writes Michael Kalafatis in his book Bird Strike, can be a feathered bullet. A swarm of the birds is a feathered fusillade. The scene in the harbor after Flight 375 went down was horrific, but the response was heroic. 62 lives were lost, but there would have been more if local residents, including several teenage boys, had not acted quickly. Many of the passengers were trapped underwater with their seatbelts fastened. Rescuers waded out into the debris and formed a human chain in the thick mud to pull out survivors. A thorough investigation of the crash was conducted. Thousands of drugged starlings were fired into identical propeller engines to simulate the bird strike. The tragic crash of Flight 375 set in motion new design features and precautions that have made bird strikes far less common today. But they still happen from time to time. The most notable occurred in 2009, when Chelsea Sullenberger, a.k.a. Sully, had to make an emergency water landing in the Hudson River after his plane was struck by a flock of Canadian geese. Eugene Shieflin could never have known the chain of events that his experiment in Central Park would set in motion. And the damage done does not stop with the tragedy in Boston. Starlings do not just fell planes. They transmit disease. They consume cattle feed. Sometimes they devour entire wheat fields. Starlings are estimated to cost U.S. agriculture around $1 billion a year in crop damage. As Shakespeare once wrote, "When sorrows come, they come not single spies, but in battalions." And occasionally, it could be added, they come in murmurations.
Everyone goes against the wind sometimes when the shipping forecast drown. Said we were landlocked and stuck to this soil. Guess they'd never heard of a swinging throng. Let's gather ourselves to the heavens above. We can always come back, my love. We can always come back, my love.
The Thread is produced by Libby Coleman and me, Sean Braswell. Our editors are Carlos Watson and Samir Rao. Chris Hoff engineered our show. Special thanks to Cindy Carpian, Sanjeev Tandon, and Tracy Moran. This episode features music by Johnny Flynn with a song called Murmuration. Check us out at Aussie.com or on Twitter and Facebook. If you love surprising, engaging stories from history, look no further than the flashback section of Aussie.com. That's OZY.com.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hey, guys. Back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.